Praise the Lord. Is anyone happy to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Amen.
All right. I'll tell you, the presence of the Lord is here. Oh, I love it because I know that where two or more are gathered, he says, I am there in their midst. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 12th chapter. In Hebrews, the 12th chapter, starting at verse 1, it says, Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about or surrounded with so many great a cloud of witness, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you, Lord, for the blood that you applied to our lives, for the blood that washes us and cleanses us from our sin, that makes us white as snow before you, for the sacrifice, Lord, that you gave so that mighty gulf, the gulf of sin that separated us from you, would have a bridge over it so that we could cross over with you and spend eternity in your presence. We thank you for that, Lord. We ask you, God, just to move on our hearts this morning. Fathers, let your sacrifice become so real that, Lord, that we just begin to burn with that burden to share that sacrifice with all those around us, Father, so that others may participate in the joy and the freedom that you have given us. We thank you, we praise you in Jesus' precious name. And everybody said, amen. Now, I want you to notice that the word here in Hebrews, first off, I titled my message, The Long Road to the Cross. You know, sometimes we think that Jesus coming to the world was just a short thing, and that his road to the cross was just an afterthought and was just a short period of time. But I want you to know that the word says right here in Hebrews, he was the author and finisher of our faith. He authored what he was going to do long before that time. In Revelation, just to make sure that you're aware, Revelation 13. Revelation 13, verse 8 says this. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. Did you hear that? The Lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Now, I don't know about you, but that tells me that the plan was put in place long before Adam and Eve were ever even here. Long before I showed up. Long before any of you showed up. That plan was put in place because he was the author of our faith. And he became the finisher of our faith. But it was a long road. It was a long road. It was a hard road. If anybody thinks Jesus had an easy time of it, you've never read the scriptures. In Matthew, the 4th chapter, we find Jesus. And the word says that he was led up of the Spirit to be tempted. Now, I don't know how anybody else feels, but I know that if I know that I'm facing a hardship, that I'm facing something that's going to be difficult, that I'm looking at some kind of a brutal death, I'm going to do everything I can to get out of it. Amen? Jesus wasn't that way. Jesus had a mission. And his mission was to bridge the gulf of sin so that he could come and get me and take me across and spend eternity with the Father in heaven. Amen? The same for you. He saw that gulf of sin and he came to earth. And he stood his ground. He saw the mission from the very beginning. He could have just allowed Satan to change his mind. The word says he was tempted. Hebrews tells us that he was tempted in like manner as all of us. So if we're tempted, that means we have a choice. Amen? He had a choice, but he saw his mission. And when he saw his mission, he was determined to fulfill that mission regardless of what it was going to cost him. And folks, he knew what it was going to cost him. He knew it. But he saw that mission, and with every temptation, he looked Satan square in the eye and says, "It is written. It is written. It is written." And he says, "I'm not going to give it to you because I've got a mission to fulfill. I've got a thing that I have to do." And it was started from the foundation of the world. We find Jesus mocked. Several times they tried to stone him. The Spirit wouldn't allow it because it wasn't his time. We find that, you know, Jesus was ridiculed by the religious leaders of his day. He was called a sinner because he ate with sinners. He wasn't a good rabbi because he loved the common man. Those that the Pharisees and Sadducees would turn their back on and say, "We don't want you in our church. Come on now. You're not good enough to be in our church." Instead, Jesus was looking at the individual. And he was looking at that gulf that was there. And he was hearing the words of his Father. "This is your mission, son. To seek and save everyone that's lost. To make a way so they can get out of their sin and be set on the other side." And he never lost sight of that mission. And sometimes that mission got very, very difficult. Jesus didn't have an easy time of it. I want to take us to the book of Luke. We'll start at the 22nd chapter, verse 39. It'll help if I got in the right chapter, wouldn't it? Listen to what the scripture says here. And he came out, talking about Jesus, and went as he was wont, or as he purposed, to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples also followed him. And when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that ye enter not into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. You see, most people don't catch this. Jesus didn't want in his human side, in his human flesh, to go through this. He was asking God, if it's possible, if you could possibly do it another way, take this cup from me. It goes on, it says, there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. You hear that? There appeared an angel to strengthen him. We're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, becoming weak in his flesh. He was crying out to the Father, I don't want to do this. He might have been looking down through history and seeing Mark Hicks and saying, I don't want to do this for this guy. I don't know. Might have been. But now listen to the rest of this, because this is very important. And Luke writes this. He's the only one of the apostles that record this in the Gospels. But remember, who was Luke? Anybody know what Luke's? He was a doctor. He was a physician. I want you to understand that. He was a physician. And he saw something transpiring, something that was taking place that he didn't even know really what was going on. But he records it. He says, and being in agony. Can you imagine Christ being in agony? We think he was in agony on the cross. I think he was at peace at the cross. I think he was at peace when they nailed him there. But he was in agony in the garden. And listen to what happened here. It says, he was in agony and he prayed more earnestly. Folks, when we're in agony, when we're facing temptation, when we're looking at things that are hard for us, we need to pray more earnestly. We need to get in with God. We need to follow him as close as we possibly can. Not back away from him and say, oh God, this is too hard for me. Because a lot of times that's our kind of thing that we do. We back off a little bit, hope that it gets a little easier. But Jesus, he pressed in harder. And he prayed more earnestly. And then it says this, and his sweat were as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Now I'm going to explain this just a little bit. In the Greek, the word sweat is the word hydrosse, and it means a perspiration or a sweat, just like it sounds. The word blood is the word haima, and it means blood, literally. Figuratively, it means the juice of grapes, but specifically, the anointing blood of Christ. Now, when this was translated into the Latin text, how many of you know that we didn't originally have English Bibles? We had the Greek and Hebrew. It was then translated into Latin. And then after Latin, it was translated into German. by Martin Luther. Not that it was translated from the Latin. And then later, it was translated into English. So, you know, English wasn't the original language. But in the Latin, and how many of you know that Latin is where we get our medical terms from? All doctors and nurses know that, you know, Latin is where we get it. And the Latin for blood is hema. The Latin for water or fluid is hydrosis. And the word in the Latin is hema hydrosis. And that's what Luke was seeing. The capillaries in Jesus' skin were bursting. And the blood started to flow with his sweat because he was under great stress. If you look it up in a medical dictionary, hemahidrosis or hematidrosis sometimes is called, you will see that it is a literal, actual, factual, documented occurrence that when someone gets under extreme stress, this is a phenomenon that happens sometimes. And the capillaries will start to burst. And it'll appear like they're bleeding. And that's what Luke was seeing because Jesus was under such stress. He didn't want to do this. But I'm here to tell you, I don't think it was the cross that Jesus was worried about. Think about it for a moment. The cross, I don't think Jesus was worried about at all. I don't think he was worried about being beaten. I don't think he was worried about being nailed to the cross. I don't think he was worried about dying. But there was one thing he didn't want to do. He didn't want to become sin for me. He didn't want to become sin for you, because he knew that sin separated him from God, and he had never been separated from God in his existence, period. But he knew he had a mission. He knew he had something that he had to go through because it was going to be required. And so as he's kneeling, or however he was in the garden, as he's beginning to pray and as he's beginning to experience this and saying, God, I really don't want to be sin. I really don't want to be the lamb. He says, nevertheless, don't do what I want. Let me do what you want. Oh, I'll tell you, folks, what Jesus did here makes so much difference. And if we just realize that it wasn't the cross was the end part. It was getting to the cross that was the hard part. I've never been in combat. My military time was not combat, but I have counseled many combat veterans, and they will all tell you the same thing. The battle was not the hard part. It's getting to the battle that was the hard part. The training, the stuff they had to do to get to that place was the hard part. That was the hard part for Jesus. Getting to the cross, not making it about him, but making it about us. Not making it about what he wanted and how he felt, but making it about how God felt and what God wanted and what we needed. Amen? We sang songs about it this morning. Oh, thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Amen? We think it was the blood of the cross. I think it was the blood here in the garden. Because this is where Jesus died. His body gave it up on the ghost on the cross. But this is where Jesus died. Because he's looking at us down through the future. And everything within him says, God, I don't want to be separated from you. I don't want to be sin. Oh, but I'll tell you what. When he said those words, nevertheless, not my will, but your will, he was dying to himself. He was giving it up so that his mission would be fulfilled. But getting there was difficult. It was so stressful. Galatians 3. Verse 13. Says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He was made a curse for you and I. And it was set forth from the foundation of the world. And when he came here, he was focused on his mission. And he wasn't going to let Satan deter him. He didn't let Satan deter him when he went to be tempted. He wasn't going to let Satan deter him when he was in the garden. He didn't let Satan deter him as the Pharisees and Sadducees mocked him and called him all kinds of names. He wasn't going to allow that to happen. Because he was focused on his mission. His mission was you and I. The word says he came to seek and save those which were lost. I don't know about anybody else in here, but I was sure at one point in my life, lost. Amen. He never let his feelings, he never let his emotions, he never let his desires ever deter him from his mission to save you and I, to make it possible to get hold of his hand and walk across that bridge, that gulf of the gulf of sin, and step over to the other side and say, thank you, Lord. And look God into the very face and say, thank you, God, for my salvation. He never lost that sight. Even when he knew he was going to become sin, he was going to become a curse for me. Matthew 27. Matthew 27, verse 46. This is Jesus on the cross. He's already been whipped, beaten, had a crown of thorns shoved on his head. He's on the cross, and the word says, in about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? See, the problem is God couldn't look on sin. And when Christ took that sin upon himself, God couldn't look at him. And if we read the whole account, we'll see that the skies turned black. We'll see that the earth shook. We'll see that a lot of things took place, but the fact that God turned his eyes away from his only son. That's what caused Jesus the stress. It's what caused Jesus to sweat the blood. But Jesus knew that the fulfillment of his mission, that the fulfillment of his mission would allow people all down the ages to spend eternity with God the Father. Amen? Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Thank you, Jesus, for the blood. Is there anyone in here this morning that can say, thank you, Jesus, for the blood? Amen? Hallelujah. I'll tell you what Jesus did for me. Yeah, clap, get it, you know, raise a hallelujah. Shout. I know I wouldn't do it. I know I couldn't do it. That's why God sent Jesus. Because he knew he could. And not only did he know he could, he knew he would. he knew he was going to follow through. He knew he was going to see that mission is the most important thing ever. And he took and he walked that road from beginning to the end with Calvary in focus, so that not only he would be the author, but that he would be the finisher of our faith. Amen.